Welcome, everybody, to the Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Each week, Ray spotlights in-depth interviews with legendary and up-and-coming authors and music artists. Ray also features the movers and the shakers of the music and publishing industries and suggests important methods for getting the most out of your public relations and marketing needs. Please welcome music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
I'm Ray Shasho, and welcome to the show where we spotlight legendary and up-and-coming music artists and authors. And, of course, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or visit www.publicityworksagency.com. And we shine only when we make you shine. Well, our guest today was supposed to be longtime guitarist of Jethro Tull, Martin Barr. Unfortunately, Martin had a last-minute cancellation. But instead, today we welcome progressive rock multi-instrumentalist, singer, songwriter, producer, engineer, pioneer, Billy Sherwood, who is the current bass player in the band Yes and will be touring with the band throughout 2015. Billy Sherwood was a key part of the lineups which created the Yes albums Open Your Eyes, The Ladder, and was also part of the Talk Tour. He recently mixed the band's Heaven and Earth album and two subsequent DVDs. Billy is also the founder of the progressive rock band Circa, which is one of my favorite bands, with original Yes keyboardist Tony Kay. And So On is the band's third release and greatest innovative achievement to date by the band, in my opinion. Billy Sherwood was born in Las Vegas, Nevada, and into a showbiz family of talented musicians. His father was big band leader, musician, actor Bobby Sherwood. His mother, Phyllis, was a singer and a drummer, and his brother, Michael, a singer and keyboardist. Now, if that hadn't convinced anyone that they were indeed a showbiz family, how about the fact that his godfather was legendary comedian Milton Berle? Divided by One is Billy Sherwood's latest solo project and Sherwood's seventh solo album. Divided by One in Collection, the ideal introduction to Billy Sherwood's solo career, which includes two exclusive tracks, is available now directly from www.billysherwoodcollection.com ahead of a mainstream release later this month. Orders through the website are being sent out now. These latest CDs will be eagerly greeted by Yes fans, especially in light on Sherwood's recent return to the band in mid-2015. It is my great pleasure to welcome Billy Sherwood to the Ray Shasho Show. Hello, Billy.
Hey, Ray. How are you?
I'm doing good. Did I build you up enough?
Well, I was just going to say, I think we're done now.
We're done.
Everything I was going to tell you.
Interview's over. You don't even have to say anything.
It's been really nice to be here and have a nice day, man.
we'll see you next time.
I appreciate that. That's very kind of you to kind of have that much detail. There's a lot of it there. And you got it all accurately correct.
Good.
There, so.
Well, that's the main thing. You know, sometimes, no, I didn't do that. I said, what do you mean? It says that on the Internet.
Yeah, exactly, right? Everything's true on the Internet.
Everything's true on the Internet. I did that. I had Kevin Godley on last week, from 10cc. And,
yeah.
And Kevin, they gave him credit for the Beatles, the CD collection, one they did, which was excellent, as one of the directors. And I guess it was just for the song that he directed with the three of them. But on the Internet, it looks like he was one of the directors of it. He said, no, I didn't do that.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, these things happen. What can you say? You know, it
exactly.
Didn't used to be like that, but there's just. It's information overload now, if you'll pardon the pun, it's just crazy.
It is, and you can't always believe what you read on Wikipedia either, because, I've actually corrected things on Wikipedia after I've done interviews, and sometimes the Wikipedia people refuse to put it in there. I said, look, I just talked to the artist, and, it's just nonsense.
Yeah, it's strange. It is strange, but the good news is that there's, now it seems a way for the actual artists themselves to make direct contact and say their piece. It's not the biggest megaphone in the world on your Facebook page, but by the same token, if the information is interesting and accurate and sort of sets things straight, the fans tend to take that and go spread the gospel, so to speak. So
it does.
It works itself out.
Yeah, in the old days, I guess, you know, we had, you know, certain magazines we'd have to go by. Of course, Rolling Stone magazine when they were actually a music magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a political machine. You know, but it is a lot easier now to get information, you know, from the audience.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Rolling Stone because, you know, historically they've never really been the biggest fans of Yes. I mean, it's kind of well known that they weren't, you know, that into the band over all these years, which is pretty amazing. But recently, on this last tour, we got this outrageous review from RollingStone.com about the tour and the energy and the experience and how it's all working. So we were kind of all set back because, you know, the Rolling Stone acknowledged Yes in a really nice way. So it was nice to see.
Yeah, after all these years, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Finally.
I mean, I always noticed it as a fan way before I was ever in. I was like, why don't they ever talk about Yes?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they've kind of ruined a few bands out there saying bad things about them, you know? And a lot of artists.
Well, you never know what the politics are of situations.
Yep.
And so you just kind of roll with it.
Someone told me if you give a album a 5-star rating, you're fired. They don't want anybody having a 5-star rating. And most of my reviews are 5-star because, you know, if I don't like the album, I'm not going to review it. You know,
well, Ray, I'm afraid I've got to fire you now.
So far, Circa had a 5-star, so that, which
oh
is
God,
one of my
yeah.
favorite albums, by the way. That
oh,
was a great
thanks,
album.
Man. Thanks. Man. While we're talking about Circa for a second, we have a new record coming out next year sometime
good.
Called Silent Resolve. That's really cool.
Right.
Very,
awesome.
Very progressive. Four tracks on the record, you know, which gives you an indication of what, you know, the kind of direction of all the arranging
wow.
and everything is. It's really interesting, and the band's just playing great, you know. In that band, I'm playing guitar, and Rick Tierney's playing bass, and he's a phenomenal bass player, and he's totally in the spirit of that kind of bass playing, and he just did an amazing job on the record, as did Scott Connor playing drums, and, of course, our man Tony Kay doing the keyboards.
Oh yeah, we love
yeah.
Tony Kay.
Yeah,
you
we
guys
do.
Got a guys got a great relationship there. It's a you know.
Yeah, he's a great guy, great friend. You know, and it's I've known him a long time now.
Well, the last time we did an interview was back in 2011, at the end of 2011. So we got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Divided by One. This is going to be your next solo release, which you can order it now. But it officially doesn't come out till what, like the end of this month?
That sounds right. It was actually out for download only before is how I released it.
Right.
For some reason, I kind of, you know, I went through a phase there when I finished that album. Normally, I would produce my own albums and get them out through my own online store and whatnot. But on this one, you know, people were starting to say CDs are dead and nobody's buying CDs and it's all download, this, that, and the other. So I just as an experiment, you know, I put out Divided by One on download. And the moment I did, everybody was sending me messages saying, we want the CDs. Where are the CDs? Where are the CDs? So, you know, it's now finally coming out on CD for all those people and for anyone else who hasn't heard the record yet, obviously. But it's exciting to see it coming out. And also, as you mentioned, that other record, The Collection, which has kind of become a sort of best of, if you will, of the previous 7 solo albums I put out. I took a track from each record that I thought was kind of cool and put it on the record as a whole, plus 2 bonus tracks, a new song that I wrote called Dark to Light, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. And just for fun, I did a cover of a Sting song called I Hung My Head, which I'm a huge fan of Sting, and I love his catalog, and I love that tune. I wanted to give it a shot.
Right. That Divided by One is all new stuff, right?
Yes, it's all new stuff, brand new. Yeah.
And
yeah.
What can we expect out of Divided by One? What kind of
well, I don't know. It's interesting in a way that it's there's some pretty straight ahead melodies and choruses happening here and there, but it's in the midst of all this crazy arranging and production. And so that hybrid, it's, you know, it's very proggy in its way, but it's also mm-hmm. kind of simplified in a lot of ways. And it's interesting to me to play around with those two dichotomies of music where one's meant to be super complex or it's not cool enough for this crowd and the other crowd, you know, you lose them completely the minute you're playing in 7 and 9 and 11.
Right,
they're
right.
gone, you know. So I'm always always trying to figure out a hybrid to bring people together and have them, you know, all appreciate the music together. So I that's how I would kind of describe what I was thinking as I was making it.
Of course, I don't have the album yet, and it's too new, but End of an Era, that's the last track of the CD?
Yeah.
What is that about?
It's pretty much just speaking about ends of various eras that, you know, we all have gone through personally and whatnot,
right.
You know, losing family members or, you know, growing up, you know, for instance, when I grew up in Vegas, it was such a different town, and that era is gone, and there's a new era of sort of corporate Vegas going on, which is
right.
Cool and working for people, but, you know, I grew up in the previous era, and so just reflecting on all that kind of stuff and just different phases of your life and, you know, what you go through, and it all kind of culminates within that title, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love your songwriting, man. I mean, you know, every track's about life. You can identify with it, you know, and that's why I love Circus so much.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they always say write what you know, and, you
right.
know, I try to write about things that interest me,
mm-hmm.
you know. Which this new record coming out on Frontiers that I've got called Citizen is a really exciting project. It's coming out November 6th,
right?
Which is right around the corner, and it's a concept album. They asked me to write a concept album, which I'd never really done before, something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Right.
So I kind of was trying to think of things to do. And I've always been intrigued by General Patton's notion that he was reincarnated in various forms over, you know, different battlefields and whatnot. I was always interested in that idea. And so I took that idea and stretched it out and made it about this album's about this lost soul reincarnated in various periods of time. You know, he shows up as a Roman conscript legionnaire. He shows up as a World War I trench runner. He shows up as an assistant to Darwin on the maiden voyage, you know, looking into evolution and discovering the theory of evolution and whatnot. So it allows you to kind of play around with a lot of different themes. And on that record are a bunch of iconic proggy dudes, friends, amazing musicians.
Dudes.
You know, Rick Wakeman, Mraz, yep. Downs, Tony Kaye
yep.
are all on there. Steve Morris, Steve Hackett, Jerry Goodman from Mahavishnu, and just a slew of people, Alan Parsons, you know, I'm probably forgetting a few right now. I feel bad about that, but there's so many things going on. But it gives you a flavor of what that record's going to be about. Pardon me. And it's going to be really exciting. It's coming out November 6th. So
cool,
you can pre-order
concept.
That now, actually, too, on Amazon.
Oh, good.
And get a jump on it. It's kind of cool.
What a fascinating concept that is, though, you know?
You
know,
yeah,
a lot of souls reincarnated into various periods of history. I mean, that's awesome.
I mean, and it's fun to play around with those themes. One of the tracks is about the merging of man and machine around the, you know, the industrial age, this guy on
right.
the assembly line and stuff. So, excuse me, you can play around with a lot of different themes in various periods of time, and I found that interesting. So it came out really good. I'm very, very proud of it.
Chris is on this too, right?
Yes.
Chris is, yeah.
It's actually Chris's last recorded performance, you know. I was
yep.
going to visit him in Arizona where he lived, and he was coming over to me, and I was in the Holiday Inn. I had my portable studio with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he came over and recorded. We set up right there in the little Holiday Inn Suites.
Really?
I set up my studio. Yeah. And he stood up and rocked it. And it was really great. A lot of fun. Five-string bass part. I mean, he just killed it.
Well, I think they've really changed, haven't they, from the old big studio days.
Well, that's what I said to him. I'm like, man, remember when we used to have, like, a fruit basket? There were people running around, and they'd go grab stuff for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those days are gone. We're in a Holiday Inn. What happened here?
Unbelievable.
But actually, that's really more a testament to technology and how amazing it is to be able to make a record in a Holiday Inn. You know what I mean? Which I think is killer, personally.
that's great.
But anyway, he played on that record, and
right.
And then, you know, I went home and called him about a week later just to say thank you, and it was fun to see you, and, you know, all that stuff. And that's when he told me about his illness, and, you know, the rest is sort of history, as they say, at this point. Such a short time, but it's true. It's and all the above.
It is that. Chris went so fast, too, you know?
That's what I'm saying, you know?
Yeah.
It was so quick.
Yeah.
It was really quick. Took everybody by surprise, me mostly, especially given the phone calls I was having with him and the conversations we were having, and the fact that, you know, this dude asked me to do what he, you know, he'd loved for 40 years and wasn't foreseeing anyone else doing, I guess, because he had it in his mind and was very, very adamant about me telling him, yeah, I got this, you know. So it just, all that stuff makes the whole process surreal. And then wrapping back around to him, having him on this record is really special. And his performance is amazing, you know. As I've told people, my last image of Chris, because I didn't see him after I left Arizona, was him standing there playing great, you know, looking like Chris.
Yeah.
In this mobile studio I'd set up, and it was great.
I interviewed
very
Chris
surreal
back,
to move forward with that.
Yeah. I interviewed Chris back in May of 2012. He was on R&R in Hawaii after the release of Squawk It.
Yeah.
And, he was a great guy. You know, we had a great conversation. We talked about all kinds of stuff, aliens.
He was funny too. I don't know if you got into any comedy with him, but we used to laugh our asses off. I mean, pardon me, I don't know if I can say that on live.
Go ahead. No problem.
But we would be laughing like crazy most of the time, you know. I mean, obviously there were serious points and yes, but you know, on the off hours, let's say, we would laugh a lot about a lot of different things.
Yeah, he was a funny guy. You know, you always take some of these prog guys as serious, but they're not. They're, you know, just relaxed, you know, easy going.
Stage, you know, this intimidating guy who looks like he could also be your friend. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like that's how the image of that sort of proggy thing is.
Yeah, you know,
but
he was
a sweet dude, man. What can you say?
Yeah, you know, growing up, I never had the idea that Chris was so tall. You know.
Just
in high school, you know, and it never hit me till later in life. I said, man, this guy's pretty tall.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I know, it was funny, man. One of the first times we hung out, we were standing somewhere together, and he looks at me, he goes, you're tall. I said, oh, okay, am I? He goes, yeah, it's good to be tall. I just started laughing.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was very quirky. Quirky
Funny. Well, yes. So you're filling in now. You are the official bass player from Yes. Are you going to be continuing this next year as well? Because I know you got a European tour.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, you know, I've as I told Chris, you know, I would make it priority one in the spirit of keeping it going, which is what I know he wanted and he was asking for, and also the idea that, you know, I love the band, always have had a passion for the band.
Right.
And want it to continue and thrive. I mean, that's why I jumped in so hard when I did on Open Your Eyes, because it was in a state of sort of disarray.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm like that when my passion and my loyalty is into that kind of music, man. It's, you know, it's in my genes. It's in my DNA now. So I'm in it. And,
cool.
You know, I mean, it started as a fill-in gig and a stand-in gig. I mean, that was my road name out on the road. Pardon me, I'm going to my backyard here. Sorry about that.
No problem.
I called Chris and I said, I came up with the perfect road name. I'm going to be Stand-In, Mr. D-I-N.
I like that.
And Teddy laughed. And you know, that's where we left it. And then lo and behold, it's like that gig now is different.
Yep. No more
a little
standard.
More serious. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm in it until further notice, and you know, if someone tells me that, you know, I'm not required there, I'm my heart's in it, and I'm ready to continue. You know.
Well, if anybody's going to fill Chris Squire's shoes, it's got to be you, Billy. Because there's nobody else. You've been in the band off and on. You produce a lot of their albums, and you're excellent live. I've actually seen the original Yes with you on tour, and it's
cool.
Great. Yeah, you're a Yes guy.
Right on. I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. Well, Yes has three live shows coming up in Florida. I'm in Florida, by the way.
Cool.
We broadcast out of California. But this is the first time you're going to be at the Van Weasel here in Sarasota, which is where I'm at.
Oh, cool, man.
Yeah, so you're going to be in my backyard here pretty soon. You're going to be in Lauderdale and also in Melbourne. And then you got the annual Cruise to the Edge. Talk a little bit about the experience of Cruise to the Edge.
Well, this will be my first Cruise to the Edge. But
oh, great.
That said, I actually have done one of these because I had an album out years ago called The Prog Collective.
Right.
And I took that out. Basically, it was Circa playing the music of The Prog Collective at that point.
Right.
And we went out with the Moody Blues, and it was called the Moody Blues Cruise, same mm-hmm. cruise line. And literally, like, the next week was the first Cruise to the Edge that they were doing. So even though I didn't do that with them, I know the experience, and it's a blast. It's nonstop party, really. I don't know if I left the mojito bar too often. But, and it's cool. Everybody's walking around and mingling and mixing, and it's, a beautiful journey, provided the weather's good, which we had great weather.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just a great time. This time it's a little different for me, obviously, because, I'm part of this headline act now, and, which is... puts it on a different level of kind of feeling like, wow, okay. Because before I was sort of in support of the whole thing, and this changes things. But by the same token, I'm just so looking forward to it because, I'm friends with so many of the fans over the years of just, going to concerts and then also just knowing them from the backstage hang or meeting them outside the gigs and stuff over all these years. So it's kind of like a little bit of a family reunion to a certain mm-hmm. degree, too.
Well, you're also a friendly guy on Facebook. You're one of my Facebook friends, and I follow you, because every time you're in the studio or you're working on something, I'll know about it,
Yeah.
But you're always in the studio.
Yeah, I have a studio in my house, and so that makes it so super convenient. And, I've been that way now for decades. I used to have a big studio in the Valley, with its own building and all this stuff, and it was great. I made a lot of cool stuff there, including mixing Keys to Ascension stuff and producing Open Your Eyes and among other things. But then, the digital age came in with computers and stuff, which is where we are now. And I love it, personally, because mm-hmm. I grew up a PC gamer, so this is just like playing PC games but with music, So it's perfect for me. And it's in my house, and if I get inspired at 3 a.m, I can just get up and go in there and do something because all the inputs are on autopilot, so to speak. I don't have to set up a drum kit. It's set up, it's mic, just hit record and go. And I find that has allowed me to be, maybe able to produce more volume than others just because of that fact, perhaps. So just and the desire to make music. I love making music. So.
It's funny. Everybody that I interview, your name always comes up. Billy Sherwood's working on this for me, or I'm going to be on an album with Billy Sherwood. it's amazing. My first guest on this radio show was Patrick Moraz.
Oh, cool.
And
I just saw him, actually.
He's talking about you over and over and over again. But, he's ready for a Yes reunion, by the way. So if you can pull
it
off.
Right. I know. That's what
I think it's time.
Talking about. Funny.
I think it's fine.
I'm right now. I'm just a guy who is cruising downstream with the flow of the river.
You pull off so many things. You're like everybody listens to you. You're like the band leader. Like your dad.
You have to be very politically careful when you say things like that because you start getting the fan bases divided by saying such things. I think that. Yes, sort of leads itself, really. There's always been a leader component in bands and stuff, but you got so many strong personalities that it's it's really more of like a democracy where you have to get things done, you know.
Wow.
From my experience, let's put it that way, you know.
Yeah.
I've seen several different lineups and stood on stage with them too, so I saw the whole dynamic of things, and it's, you know, it's just all strong personalities that make up the band and remain that way, really. I mean, I'm no wallflower, that's for sure.
I always thought Chris was pretty much the leader of the band. Is that true?
Well, as I just explained, you know, I don't think Yes has a, quote, leader. I think that it's always been driven by this sort of, you know, democracy of the idea of each guy manning his station and what that means to the whole project. And that's what I always admired about the band in my belief of how it kind of operated. And so I would try to operate, you know, as best I could my things like that too, where everything's, you know, every guy is pulling their own weight to the best of their ability, as opposed to, you know, drill ye terriers drill. You know? So,
how cool would it be to get a reunion?
It runs itself in its own way.
Yeah. But, you know, imagine if John came back. And I mean, everybody can still stay, and it's just adding a few people, you know, and trading off songs and things like that. That would be cool. You guys did that once before, I think, right? Wasn't there a union?
I wasn't involved in that when they put, I mean, other than having a song on the more We Live on the Union record, having that song on there, I wasn't involved with that tour. And it didn't include everyone, you know what I mean? It was really Yes West versus classic Yes and the hybrid thereof.
Right.
You know, it didn't get into, obviously, the Relayer drama. Peter Banks was alive at the time, you know, all that stuff. So the idea of, quote, reunions, unquote, in this realm, you know, that's more like putting together a small football team at this point.
That's true.
You know, I don't know how you fit those guys all on one stage. You know, you start looking like, you know, a Broadway production of Taft or something up there.
I think that did really well, though, on tour, on live.
It did. I mean, people dug it. There's no doubt about it, you know.
Right.
That's for sure.
Imagine Patrick on one side, Tony and Rick Wakeman. You know, I mean, that would be, you know, I guess you'd be the only bass player.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about where I've always been with Yes in my own personal mindset is the future. And so for me, not so much reliving and trying to recapture old glory as much as moving forward now into 2016 and beyond if we're going to do this. You know what I mean? And that's kind of part of what I told Chris, too, is I said, look, if you're asking me to come in it, you know, is the band aware of my sort of attitude about this? Because if I'm in it to win it, so to speak, as they say.
Right.
And I want to go forward and produce great music and move forward and have the thing going forward, as opposed to just jumping on something that's going down memory lane over and over and over.
Exactly.
You know, and I was pretty blunt about it. And Chris said, no, that, you know, the band wants to go forward, and that's what we're talking about. And we want to do it, you know, and have you involved in it. And this was before he was sick, and he was just asking me to produce a new record.
Right.
You know, and I was kind of saying to him, if I jump in to make the record, I want to make something that really we push forward and try to do interesting things. And so he, you know, that's where I'm at. I want to go forward. So, you know, would I be happy to play with any one of these guys on stage? Sure, that's no problem at all. But is that my desire? My desire is to move Yes forward in 2016 as Yes.
Right.
Whatever that version of Yes is. And even if I'm not in it, I'm happy to help.
Even if you're not in it, huh? That's funny. Well, you're the guy to move it forward, that's for sure, because, you know, your music is very innovative, and, I can't go on enough about Circa. I mean, to me, that's the next generation of Yes.
It was, you know, there was no doubt that that was the feelings were going to be there from the composer, you know, angle. Tony being Tony and me coming where I was and Alan in the, you know, on the first record and setting the template for what we were going to do and everything. It was definitely going to have that feeling and emotion involved. That said, we didn't sit around and go, okay, look, in the Bridge of Awakening, it does this, so we should do this. And you know what I mean?
Right.
We didn't look back to dissect things and plagiarize as much as just, again, you know, creating stuff for a future. And that's kind of was the spirit of those records, still is.
Well, everybody should go on YouTube and punch in and Circa and punch in Castaway, because Castaway to me is one of the great songs I've heard in the last 10 years. It really is.
Oh, cool, man. I'll say another thing to search on YouTube if you're looking at Circa stuff, which is pretty entertaining to watch, especially if you're a Yes fan.
Mm-hmm.
Is we did a piece of music called The Chronological Journey that we arranged.
Okay.
Where we play the musical, kind of juiciest musical moments of a Yes track starting in 67 and going all the way through to 2000 is where we took
okay.
it.
Right.
And it's 40 minutes long nonstop.
Wow.
And it's me, Alan White, Tony Tay, and Jimmy Hahn. Mm. And Scott Walton joined us, additional keys over there. And it's killer. I mean, it's hysterical to watch, too, because I don't know how we did it, and I don't know if it can be done again, but somehow we pulled it off on this video. And it was really the first time we performed it. You know, looking back on it, it's like, whoa, how did that happen?
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun to watch.
You got the last album from Yes you produced, right? Was it Heaven and Earth? That was what?
I didn't produce it. I just mixed it.
You mixed it. Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the future now? Is there going to be another Yes album?
Well, as I said, I mean, that's my intention is to move forward, and I think moving forward in a band like this equals making new records and touring, you know, until someone in the band turns around and says, no, that's not the plan.
Right.
And, you know, we only want to go out and play Roundabout over and over. Then no, you know, we'll move forward.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I love Roundabout, don't get me wrong, and I'll play it very happily, but I want to move forward, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, I was going to mention Ponder the Mystery. Watching the progress on YouTube and you talking to William Shatner and, the progress of the record, and it sounded like you had a blast with William Shatner to get the thing.
Yeah, I'm fortunate to say that he's become a very close friend, and he's just such a sweet dude. And we hit it off immediately on our first meeting, and
mm-hmm.
he talked about what we were going to do, and he brainstormed this concept of this guy sitting on the beach and this whole stuff that became Ponder the Mystery, the whole thing. And we wrote it together. I wrote the music. He wrote all those words, which are really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then I sing the choruses and he speaks the verses, and we sort of really shared in the whole component of making the record. It's littered with great artists. I mean, another record with, you know, these amazing musicians on there.
Right.
And it was just a blast. So what can you say? It was surreal as hell for me, because here's someone I, you know, grew up just loving to watch on television.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm a huge fan of Star Trek, obviously, because I love sci-fi. But I, you know, I used to love Shatner when he was on, you know, those Twilight Zones, those vintage
right.
Twilight Zones.
Yeah.
And it's just, those are, that spirit of his characters in there is so deep. And so he's a great, great friend. And we actually did some shows together. We, after the record was done, Circa mm-hmm. played the whole album.
Mm-hmm.
And Shatner, was, you know, did his thing at the front of the stage. And we did four shows and sold them all out, and we were talking about doing more, but you know, Bill's an actor and busy as can be, and mm-hmm. one thing led to another, and we just couldn't quite make it happen. But I'm so glad that we did the four shows that we did, because there's nothing like playing a gig and looking over with William Shatner as your lead singer. It's just, you're not going to beat that.
Nope. Captain Kirk, lead singer.
Exactly.
Where did all this come from with William Shatner into I want to say classic rock or prog, but was he a big fan of certain bands growing up?
He's a fan of music, and he knew prog music, you know, And then once we started hanging out, he was really getting deeper into it and researching it and listening. And, you know, he's a fan of music. He's definitely, but I mean, obviously it's in his heart to do it. Look what he does, you know.
Right.
So he's just a lover of good music. I mean, he loves the classic stuff, Cole Porter, you right. know, all the way through to jazz and pop. And so he's well-rounded in his musical tastes too, which I found interesting. He knows what he's talking about. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It was a funny moment because our drummer in Circus, Scott Connor, you know, none of us talk about Star Trek with Bill because it's just, you know, we assume that's the last thing he wants to get into.
I know.
But we're all trying to do it. You know what I'm saying? We would love to get into it. Like, so we're all just kind of playing and rehearsing here at my house, and you know, I looked over at Scott when we stopped and played something, and I said, "Very nice, Mr. Scott." And I caught myself. And I looked over at Bill, and he just gave me this little hint of a smile, like, okay. And I thought, whoops. And then later in the rehearsal, when we stopped again, he looked over and said, "Scotty, you nailed that." And Scott Connor, I mean, the look on his face. And the punchline is, after the whole session's over and Bill's gone, Connor comes up to me and he goes, "Thank you." Like, I got him to call him Scotty or something.
That's funny. Isn't that funny?
That was very funny. So anyway, Bill's a great dude. He's a good guy.
When he entered the studio, he should have played the Star Trek theme, you know?
Right. But I'm going to incorporate that in there.
Yeah. So you got a couple of dates here in Florida. You got the cruise. And then in Europe, you guys are going to be playing it's a Fragile and Drama, right? That those are the two albums you're going to be focusing on?
Yes. That's what I understand, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Which I can't wait to do. I mean, great stuff. Great music.
Oh, awesome. It's a pretty lengthy tour in Europe, too. I was looking at the schedule.
Yeah. I mean, well, the band loves to play, and we get into a groove. I mean, I've been in that groove with them on several tours where, mm-hmm. you know, you're just in a stride and it's just kicking. And every yeah. night it's like there's no more need for a sound check. Just get up there and do it. And so it's cool like that. I like that.
Have you played the Relayer album live since you've joined the band?
I haven't played it with them, but I right. played it in my bedroom when I was 16 in headphones, probably 4,000 times.
That's funny.
So it's in there, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's the bike that I know I can ride, and I just haven't quite picked it up yet.
That's,
I need
that's
help
funny.
Pads at this point.
Yeah, you need to sit down with Patrick and do it.
Yeah.
That's
but, I mean,
funny.
And growing up playing to that record, that was my base exercise every night. I mean,
was
bridge,
it really?
Well, the bridge of Gates to Delirium during the keyboard solo and the guitar, it's the bass line's over the top, great,
right.
and just really, I mean, you want to get your chops up playing bass, play to that part of the record for a while. it's really good. It's really good.
That's a very intricate piece of music, huh?
Yeah, it is. I love it, though.
And that's got to be hard to play live.
My favorite of all Yes records is Tales, which is obviously 4 songs, 20 minutes long each.
Yeah.
Know? That's my favorite stuff. That said, I love, you know, I like the whole shebang. I mean, I'm into the whole, I like the transition from the early records to how when Steve joined, it changed.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
right.
you know, with TK coming back in the 80s and Raven and how it changed.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yep.
you know, the morphing, it's like that movie The Thing mm-hmm. with music or something where it just keeps morphing.
Right.
And I've dug every stage of it, you know. I mean, I'm a fan of John Anderson's voice, and I love the records mm-hmm. he's done. And, you know, by the same token, I really dig what happened with Drama. It's just a fantastic record, and John Davison sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, change is change, and transition is transition, but I think the whole, looked on as a whole, there's just so much amazing stuff there, you know. If you start dividing it up into, like, camps of, like, well, without this guy, I can't even bother listening to it. And you're sort of denying yourself some beautiful moments for your listening pleasure. I'll just say that. You know?
So how's Steve doing? How's Alan doing?
Everybody's good. Everybody's very good. I mean, it was a very bizarre tour in a lot of ways because of Chris's passing and, you know, what this really was all happening here that, you know, we were all sort of in a kind of a just mode of going day by day, you know. I mean, sadness, happiness, excitement, you know, serenity, all the above. But, I mean, the word I use, which applies for everything, is just surreal. I mean, for me anyway. Because, you know, I mean, Chris was such a huge part of the whole thing, and he's not there, and you're out there touring with the same crew. I mean, Richard Bass Tech of 40 years, who's a lovely guy, and a very good friend of mine who I've come to know over these long years, is has remained and is doing bass for me now, is teching my gear. And so, you know, it's just like a big family coming back together in a way, except we lost one, you know, and it's tough. You know, it's still tough. But knowing what Chris's intentions were, you know, before he left us, is what's given me the drive to know that we're okay to do what we're doing and we should be doing what we're doing, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
And which is a real testament to Chris Squire as a person, man. Because, you know, most rock stars, quote-unquote, you know, wouldn't want their legacy even tampered with on any level.
Right.
And here's a guy who's actually saying to me, you got this, take the keys, here's the car, the manual's in this glove box, you know. I mean, how many people do that, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a real testament to who Chris Squire was as a person. And it's still trips me out, you know.
Well, he wants the music to continue, not only as Yes, but the genre, you know.
Well, the idea, it was the idea of the whole thing, which is what Yes always was for me and for everyone who's out there, is this idea of positive music and, you know, uplifting feeling stuff and just good, solid music played by hand as opposed to, you know. Whatever else.
By real musicians.
Yeah, exactly. Played by hand.
Yeah, exactly. Not electronic music, you know.
Until the robotic AI replaces someone.
That's probably next,
There's the natural evolution of the whole thing.
Yeah, it'll continue. Next 200
Once
years.
Once programmed, you've got your guy up there for all time. We finally found the lineup.
It'll just be a hologram of Yes on tour, you know, something like that.
Chappie on lead guitar.
Yeah. It may happen. Who knows?
Strange world we live in. Yeah.
Billy, here's a question I ask everybody. I don't remember if I asked you this the first time. Maybe not. And I get some very interesting answers from this, and things you would never believe. But if you had a Field of Dreams wish, like, you know, the movie Field of Dreams, to perform, collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be? And it could be somebody that's already passed on, or it could be classical era.
I mean, for me, I've had the pleasure and honor of working with so many amazing musicians at this point, and a lot of them have become like close friends. And that's always very, very cool as an experience to just meet people on that level. But there's three people that I haven't worked with or met. I don't really know them at all. But, man, Sting's always been one of my favorite artists just as a writer. You know, Peter Gabriel the same, and also Kate Bush. Those three, you know, I'm kind of asked this question quite a bit because it's one of those questions. And I always fall back to those three because I haven't had the privilege yet, you know.
Yeah, Peter Gabriel's amazing. I've interviewed Tony Levin, which is another great bass player.
Yeah, he's a friend of mine, too. He's a great guy. Tony's great.
Oh, yeah, I could see you guys jamming out all the time.
He's on a bunch of records that I've made, actually. I produced this band called Days Between Stations, which is a prog band, and we're actually making their next album right now. The last album I played drums and sang lead vocals on, and Tony did all the basses, and it's just such a blast. Yeah. Yeah, really, really good record. It's.
Have you talked to, you're probably friends with Jeff Berlin as well, right? Jeff, you know Jeff?
We've spoken kind of email form, but we've never really hung out. But you know, obviously he's an amazing bass player, Jeff Berlin, that's for sure.
There's so many out there.
I mean, once you get going, there's just so many great players. I mean, Chris was always my main sort of progressive rock, kind of rock bass player hero. And then on the flip side of that, Jocko as a sort of jazzer was always way up there. And, you know, I've always tried to hybrid those two a little bit so that there's a little of each in there.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I've got, I wanted to ask you about children. Do you have children that are in into music?
I have one boy at 12 years old, Ethan.
Okay.
And I love him to death. He's a beautiful boy. And, you know, he's a kid of this modern age we live in, and he's just into computer science and stuff like that. And, you know, as my dad told me when I was very young, you know, don't worry about being a musician. If you want to do anything else, I highly advise. It's a crazy business. Yeah. And of course, I went straight into it. You know, so what do I know? But you know, my kid said to me the other day, "It's like, do I have to play music like you do?" And I said, "You don't have to do anything you don't want to do, man.
That's funny.
What do you want to do?" He said, "I want to be a computer science engineer." I said, then go for it. If that's your dream, that's what you do. You know, don't worry about it. But I found it to be a kind of a funny question because everyone assumes, you know, well, you're a musician. He's bound to be playing, you know, 12 instruments by now. But it's not quite the case. their interests are going another direction, which is fine by me as long as he's happy in life. You know, bless him. Let him do what he wants to do.
Yeah. So he's 12 right now, huh?
Yep.
And what about the missus? What does she do?
She's an amazing photographer and graphic artist. She does a lot of album covers.
She
did all the Circa covers, the original Circa covers.
She does all the Circa covers, huh?
Yeah, she did all my solo album covers.
Excellent.
She's done a bunch of other people's covers, and she also does photography. I don't know if you had a program from the latter tour, but she... She actually took some of the pictures. That one picture of Chris where he's grinning like a little devil with the green face. That was me. So she's great.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. And we just do our thing here, you know?
Yeah.
It's all that work is done inside the house, which is nice because we're always here. So.
Has she ever been on tour with you? Has she ever go on any of the dates with you or anything?
Yeah, she's been out on the you know, the sort of major cities, you know, if we're on the East Coast and whatnot. But for the most part, you know, when you got a 12-year-old kid in school, you know, she's home being mom, which is beautiful because it affords him to do what he's got to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but she comes out and visits, you know. Yeah.
Right. Excellent.
I mean, she also knows the road, you know what I mean? This is not her first rodeo, so she's kind of like, you go do that. You know what I mean? Because it's a lot of fun to go out on the road and play those 2 hours every night. The work is in the other 22 hours where you're, like, either traveling or trying to catch up on sleep. And you know, it's tough out there. It starts
getting to be
a lot, you know. It's from the outside looking in, it's Lear jets and, you know, but the reality is, no, it's not. It's traveling and it's sometimes brutal. Yeah. But, you know, it's still a blessing to be able to play music in front of people, so... I'm definitely not complaining. I'm just suggesting that she's like, you know, you go do that. I'll be home.
That's your thing, man. I'll watch from the audience. I'll listen to the albums. So, what do you suggest for you know, say there's a band out there that loves progressive rock, and they would really like to make it, you know, in that genre. What do you, you know, what's your advice to them? I mean, how can they make it
now? I think that, you know, be prolific and make yourself visible and Facebook and YouTube, Twitter, you know, and all these outlets that you can get on the biggest rock you can and shout about your band, you know. That's really what you have to do. And make music and make it good, and make sure you're producing the best quality music that you can, you know?
Right.
That's the other part of this whole thing, is that great material, if produced wrong or mixed wrong, mm-hmm. gets choked off before it ever gets a chance to be enjoyed, you know? So
right.
there's a lot that goes into it. And, you know, I mean, all I would say is try to achieve the highest grade of production you can on every level. If you're going to play live, make sure it's nailed. And
right.
I mean, make sure you're knowing what's going on in front of house and what it's being represented out there, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all these things that go into just keeping your standards way high, so to speak, you know?
Right.
And that would be my advice. And you just keep plugging away, because you just never
yeah.
know what happens when it happens.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, my first band, Logic, was rehearsing at a rehearsal studio where Toto used to rehearse right next door.
Okay.
And we were slugging it out forever, and then one day Jeff Porcaro runs in and goes,
mm-hmm.
what are you guys playing? And we said, well, this is our material. We're a band called Logic. He said, I'll be right back. And he runs into his rehearsal room, and he drags in Steve Porcaro and David Page, two keyboard players.
Right.
They see the band and fall in love with it. And, you know, these are guys who just won 7 Grammys for Toto 4.
Right.
And they produced the band, and off we went. I mean, overnight, we were pretty much like, wow, our whole destiny changed here. You know, so my point is, you never know what's going to happen when it's going to happen, but
exactly.
you got to be on point all the time so that if that moment appears, you can deliver the goods, as they say.
Exactly. Now, are you yeah. open to producing new bands?
I do that quite often online. You know, I've made myself open as best I can. You know,
right.
my world's always a little bit busy, but I try to make time and make it work for people.
Mm-hmm.
To do overdubs for them and play some drums or sing or play guitar, whatever you need. People reach out to me on Facebook all the time, and can you mix my album? And, you know, so when I can do it and when their budget affords me to be able to take the time to do it,
right.
I try to work with them as best I can on this stuff and try to do as much of it as I can. So, and I've met a lot of cool people and great musicians through the process, and you know, if my participation on any level helps them, then you know, I'm happy to help.
Well, we need people like you. You know, the pioneers are all gone. You know, the Dick Clarks, the Don Kirshners. You know, I throw Wolfman Jack in there for radio. You know, so we need people like you that know music and can help people. You know, and continue
and
to
work. I'm a workaholic. Is the
yes, you are.
Problem.
So, you are a workaholic.
If I've got a couple down hours, it's like, does anybody need a bass over that?
I can't believe how much material you put out, and I call you the king of collaborations because you're always collaborating with somebody.
That's funny. Well,
yeah.
I mean, you know, you sort of think about things and you try to do them, and if you can connect all the dots, you know. Things happen, and
right.
over these years I've met so many people that now when I do these other records for labels, they're like, hey, could you call this dude? And
exactly.
So I open lines of communication, and also there's other people in the loop behind the scenes connecting dots from artist to artist too, between
right.
managers and representatives and consultants.
Sure.
So you're just, your network becomes kind of wide, and again, coming back to, you know, you just got to be able to deliver, because if you work with someone and they hear the end result and go, oh my God, what'd you do to me?
Mm-hmm.
Then that's it. It's a one-shot
yep.
deal. But I have
exactly.
a lot of return guests on, you know, I mean, Rick Wakeman's been on the last 20
mm-hmm.
records, I think. I've done. You know,
the buzz is you're a great producer, a great engineer, and everybody loves you. So.
Well, I'm happy to hear that, and it's a blessing, and I appreciate that. What can you say?
Billy, is there anything else you'd like to promote?
Better than the opposite, I suppose.
Anything else you'd like to promote today? Any collaborations coming up that you want to talk about? Or
I think we've kind of covered everything. I mean, I would just wrap this back up to the closest thing between Divided by One coming out,
right.
real, you know, and also this Citizen record on November 6th, which you can pre-order at Amazon if you're
mm-hmm.
so inclined. And keep a watch on my Facebook page.
Okay.
And, you know, there's always, I try to keep the fans and people interested in what I do as in the loop as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I'm on tour, it's easy to take a picture somewhere and post where I am. when I'm home sitting on the couch watching The Walking Dead, it's not as exciting something I'm feeling I'm needing to post to everybody. So, you know, there might
we'll
be
do
days.
That.
But for the most part, you know, I try to keep people in the loop with what I'm doing. Just so that,
Billy, thank you so much for being on the show today, especially on such short notice. And you're going to see Martin Barr on the ship. So,
Neat. Tell him, very cool.
Yeah, tell him you know that you filled in his slot. Very nice.
Oh man, that's great. Well, it's not great that I filled in. He should have been there, but I don't know what happened.
Yeah, he should. We'll find out what happened to him, and we'll reschedule.
Hopefully, everything's okay.
Well, thank you so much for all the incredible music you bring us with Yes, Circa, as a solo performer and as a producer and engineer. Thank you so much for being with us today, Billy.
Thanks for having me, and I hope to see you out there at the Yes shows on the Florida run.
Yep, that'll be great.
All right, man. Take care.
You too, man. Thank you.
Yeah.
Order Billy Sherwood's latest solo project, Divided by One and Collection, the ideal introduction to Billy Sherwood's solo career, which includes two exclusive tracks available now directly from www.billysherwoodcollection.com ahead of a mainstream release later this month. Orders through the website are being sent out now. Also, Citizen, the fantastic and fascinating new concept album by Billy Sherwood, featuring an incredible list of all-star musicians, and available to purchase now on Amazon.com. And follow all the Yes news and happenings at YesWorld.com. Join me every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on The Ray Shasho Show. Coming up next week, October 12th, my guest will be British musician John Payne, best known as the lead singer and bassist for the progressive rock group Asia. Very special thanks to the incredible Anne Layton of Layton Media Music Services and Motivation. She is wonderful, and she pulled out all the stops to get Billy Sherwood here today. Quite a lot of wizardry that went on, and we did it at the last minute, and I'm very, very, very thankful to Anne. If you have any comments or suggestions or would like to be a guest on The Ray Shasho Show, call 941-877-1552 or email us at ray@publicityworksagency.com. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com. Specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Join Ray Shasho every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on BBS Radio, Station 1.